Okay, so we'll begin our meeting today. The PowerPoint will be posted on the website where the agenda is posted, and then we'll also post minutes and the recording from the meeting. And so I'm going to review our agenda real quick for you, and this will be a quick and fast and furious 1 hour to start our school year for the School Health Advisory Council. When you return in November, we will have a size double in this, and Heather will talk about membership after a little while so that you can understand how broad the membership will be by the time we hit November. Today, we're going to go around and introduce ourselves, and then we'll have an overview of SHAC requirements. I'll share with you some things that have been required and some of the new requirements. We already touched on one of them, which would be the recording of the meetings. We'll talk about the positions that need voted on, recruitment of members. I'm going to go over a brief introduction with you of coordinated school health and a COVID-19 update. Last year, I provided a COVID-19 update at almost every SHAC meeting. I have two little short videos that I'll show you, and we'll be done. So we've got a lot of learning today, and then you do have some homework for November. I'm sure you're very thrilled that you have homework. Introduction. So I thought first we could go around and just introduce ourselves. If you are an employee like me, but you also are a parent of a kid in our district like me, go ahead and state both. And so I'm Yarda Leflett, and I work in the Curriculum and Instruction Department. I have a child who graduated last year from Marble Falls High School that's now at Tarleton, and I have an eighth grader at Marble Falls Middle School. So who would like to go next?
I'm Candace Gross. I am a seventh grade science teacher at Marble Falls Middle School in the science department here as well.
Just go around the room if you want.
Dusty Harkins. I have two boys that graduated from Marble Falls. I graduated from Marble Falls in 92.
Welcome.
Leanne Harkins. I'm a Highland Lakes Elementary administrator. I graduated from Marble Falls. My boys graduated from Marble Falls. We've been in the community for a long time.
I'm Mandy McCary. I'm a school board trustee, but I also have a daughter at Marble Falls Elementary, a daughter at Marble Falls Middle School, and a daughter at Marble Falls High School.
I'm Stacy Lashbrook. I'm an administrator at Highland Lakes Elementary. I have three kiddos that graduated from Marble Falls ISD.
Zila Shiner, I'm at the middle school. I'm your SEL coordinator for the middle school, and I have one child at the middle school.
Thank you. Gina Coe, I'm the counselor at Spicefoot Elementary.
Amber Clark, I am a parent of two at Spicefoot Elementary, and I'm also a nurse.
Carrie Francis, and I'm the school nurse at Spicefoot Elementary, and I also have a 10th grader at the high school.
Jessica Casey, I have one graduate, and then I have an 11th grader and a 9th grader.
Wow.
I'm Suzanne Hager. I'm a retired art teacher from Marble Falls.
I'm Norma Brown, and I am one of the nurses at Marble Falls Elementary School, specifically with the life skills medically fragile students.
My name is Dwayne Teets, and I'm the lead counselor at Marble Falls High School.
I'm Heather Metzger, and I work with Yarda in the C&I department, and I have two sons, one that just graduated from Marble Falls High School and one that's a senior at Aiden.
I'm Stephanie Berry. I'm the admin assistant in C&I, so I work for both of these ladies, and I have an 8th grader.
Welcome, everybody. And so at the next meeting, we'll have the newer members introduce themselves that you didn't get to meet at this meeting. I did want to just get some of your feedback on one thing before we start, and something for you to just think about, and then I'll put this back up at the end of the meeting. These are the different subcommittees that we will have for SHAC. Subcommittees will meet a different time outside of SHAC over certain topics. We're required by law to have the first subcommittee. The other subcommittees make sense for us to get our work done efficiently. What I would like for you to do, I'm going to collect your name cards, but you get to take your folders. On the back of your name card or on the inside of your name card, I want you to put in order your top two choices for subcommittees. If I'm going to serve on a subcommittee, I want to serve on this one first, and then this would be my second choice. Everybody's probably going to get their first choice. I just want to see what you're interested in by having you write two. So if you'll write that down real quick, if you need time to think, I'll put this slide back up again at the end of the meeting. So the different committees, we have physical activity and fitness, health and nutrition, human growth and development, which would include sex education under human growth and development, social, emotional, and counseling services, and then drug, alcohol, tobacco. We actually have to make some recommendations out of this committee. We'll listen to counselors and others around opioid addiction, and so that would fall under the last one. So if you would rank again your number one and your number two, and then I'll put that back up at the end of the meeting, and when you turn in your name cards at the end, I'll have those. Everybody in here is not going to know what you had down. I'll just look. It helps me to gauge where the committee is. Are you good for me to turn it and go? Okay, yes. Okay, I'm going to show you a quick, short little video about Shacks in Action. Some of you are very familiar with Shacks, and some of you are not familiar with Shacks. This is a 5-minute video. It has some people talking from various school districts. It's helpful just to get an overall idea of Shacks.
School Health Advisory Council, or Shack, has been very instrumental in changing policy, supporting recess policies, looking for more opportunities to improve nutrition on the campus during the school day, as well as improve activity opportunities for our students. So through policy and positive influence on our PTAs and stuff, we have seen fundraising at some of our schools become only about activity rather than food-based. So those are some really positive changes that have occurred due to our Shack's involvement.
When I first got there, wellness wasn't well defined, so that was kind of the first thing we did was set out and said, okay, so what are we going to talk about when we talk about wellness? And so we put in a vision for wellness and a plan to achieve it. And what that's led to 7 years later is now we have subcommittees based on those areas that we defined as good for wellness.
What I would like other school administrators to know is that a Shack can be very, very helpful. It's not just another meeting that you're required to have by law. It's not just another organization that you have to deal with on a regular basis, but it's actually something that can help you and benefit your district and your students. We all believe that children's school health is important. We know that healthy kids make better scores on tests. We know that healthy kids make better learners. We know that physically, emotionally, and mentally healthy kids are happier and more well-adjusted children. So we all know that it's extremely important for us to dedicate time and effort to that, and that's how a Shack can help your district.
I think the Shack, like a lot of different Shacks, benefits the students by providing a voice from the community. There are mostly parents on our Shacks, so they are aware of what the problems and the issues are in the schools and what topics need to be brought forth. There are a lot of concerned parents who have had those discussions with their students, and they know what's wrong with the recess policies in their different elementary schools, or where the school lunches are failing, or where they're succeeding, or what we need to do with the different health education models. So I think that having a strong parental involvement in the Shack through the appointments from the school board has been a great benefit for us.
We have members from all walks of life in our Shack committee that give us exposure to all the members of the community, what their thought process is, what the challenges. And student involvement is a big factor that I think, because we are there for the students. And if you listen to them and if you come up with a solution, that's what makes Shacks what we are. So I think that's the biggest achievement that we are looking into, and hopefully we'll be able to conquer it more and more every day, every time.
We've had a lot of benefits provided for our students in areas of curriculum, programs, access, staff development coming in, helping to train our teachers. And then this year, one of the things we started was student wellness teams so that we could start building leadership in our students to manage their own wellness.
Students have challenges with the food that are being served in the cafeteria. And they wanted to bring the Subway sandwiches into the cafeteria, but because of the cost involvement and the numbers, we cannot bring the Subway because of that percentage that we have to pay on every sandwiches. But what our food official, Judy Houston, did, that she got a chef from New York, and they are making a special sandwiches that are emulating just like the Subway, or even better, and that's going to be rolled out in the spring season. It's going to be marketed with the help of the students, and they are told to come up with a cool name to attract the student population And that's their idea. In fact, we just borrowed it, and now we're going to implement it all over the school district in Midland High Schools in Corpus Christi.
Interestingly enough, the way students got involved in my shack is members of the shack would bring their kids to meetings. And so initially, we did not have any students on our shack. But after ball practice, one of the parents would pick their child up and bring them in. And so I would gather those kids up around the table and ask their opinions on things too. And so it was an informal process at first. Now we usually ask for volunteers, and the counselors at the high school usually give me a high school student. And occasionally we'll have an elementary student show up too. And so that's always fun.
Hey, if you were wondering, this video is posted on a website that's called It's Time Texas. And the It's Time Texas website talks about Texans being healthy, and it has a section for children, and then there is a section for adults on various areas of wellness. And so that was just a brief about Shack. I was going to talk to you for a minute about Shack requirements. In your folder, you have several things, and you can, if you misplace this, we're going to give you access to a Google folder also. But in your folder, you have the agenda for today. But in the BRADs are the board policies that specifically refer to Shack. There are other laws in which Shack works through, but these are the main board policies. In fact, the first board policy is purely dedicated to the establishment of Shack. And then there are two more. There's one in regards to curriculum and one in regards to students. And then on the back folder is the model that we came to agreement last year in regards to our approach of whole school, whole child. And I'll talk about that towards the end of the meeting. So for the next meeting, before I go over Shack requirements in just a second, if you'll just kind of read through the board requirements, and you'll see, for instance, under membership that we're striving, and by the time we hit November, we should be at the appropriate membership. But there are some other things in there, and we'll start to really break those open at our next meeting. Wanted to give you an overview of some general requirements, just functioning. First, we must meet at least 4 times a year. I believe we'll meet 6 times this year. That would be the main big Shack meeting. So that doesn't include subcommittees. Any subcommittees that go meet, they don't have to be recorded, but we record them when they come back and they make their report to the main Shack group. And then we must have the physical activity and fitness planning committee. We must provide an annual report to the Board of Trustees. We'll provide this report in the spring. So an annual report, and that report needs to have certain things in it. And one of those board policies, it says some of the things that we have to have in it. We have required membership, so there are some required membership components. One of the main ones is the majority of Shack needs to be parents who are not employees. So that's where you'll see at the next meeting there will be a lot more people who are parents who are not employees, and then also community members. We will have several employees here. Not all, every employee that is here present at a meeting will be a voting member. And so there will only be certain ones that will be voting members based on what we need. We do have to now post our agendas 72 hours in advance of the meeting. We'll post them. We have our meetings on Wednesdays. We'll post them on Friday afternoon. The secretaries will post it just like they post school board meetings. And then we'll post it on the website. And then we need to audio or video record our meetings. For right now, we came to consensus about audio recording our meetings. And then the audio recording with minutes will be posted on the website. Our meetings are open meetings. Anybody can come. We can't have big closed meetings. So our meetings are open meetings. In addition, as we go through and begin to discuss certain topics, we will have to have some public forums. We also have to allow for some public comment during our meetings if we have certain guests. And so we'll have to allow for public comment at a specific time. That does not mean they get to just interrupt the meeting whenever they want to interrupt the meeting. So for instance, there are certain things that we'll talk about this year that we will be required to have some public forums on. We'll have to do an announcement to the community. We will not be able to hold it here. Most likely we would hold it at the high school commons or a larger area. And then, like I said before, responsibilities are outlined in mostly the three policies that I gave you right there. And instead of us reading through 15 pages of board policy in a meeting, I thought you could briefly read it on your own. If you have questions, you can go ahead and email me those questions. Okay, Ms. Metzger is going to talk for just a little bit about a couple things in regards to membership.
Okay, one of the required positions that we don't have currently is a secretary. And so we do need, I'm typing the minutes up today. That's what I've been listening, but that's what I'm doing for our meeting. But we will need to elect a secretary. So I was going to ask, is there anybody that has interest in that? If not, we can, there are some other members coming aboard next month, but is there anybody that might be interested in that? I can open the floor for nominations.
And we do have other members joining us next month, so we can ask from them.
It's really just taking notes, and it's a one-year commitment. Being an officer or the secretary is a one-year commitment. Oh, you're so good, Stephanie. Are there any other nominations? Do I have a motion that we cease nominations?
Oh.
Yes, motion.
All right, good. I hope y'all are getting this so I can put it in the minutes. All those in favor of Stephanie Berry being our secretary, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The ayes have it. You are now our secretary. I do know my parliamentary procedure, so there you go. Okay, so.
I don't think everyone knows Amber, that Amber.
Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. Yes, and so the co-chairs I'm the co-chair to Ms. Leflett, and then also Amber Clark. She introduced herself earlier, a parent at Spicewood and a nurse as well. Awesome, and so she is going to be working with us too as one of our co-chairs. So thank you, Amber. And it's nice to meet you. Okay, membership. So this is just some information about required membership. And Yarda just said that the majority of our council needs to be parents who are not employees of the district. When you are on the committee, it is a two-year committee membership. Unlike the secretary position, it's just a year at a time. And we will have, like we talked about, recordings. And so we will open that up to the community. We will have people that work for MFISD. People must live within MFISD or have children that attend MFISD. We also, members should have a strong commitment to either health, mental health, physical health, all those great things. And just desire to be a part of this committee and the mission and the purpose for this committee. They should be a diverse group. So we want to have men and women and economic diversity that all represent our district represented on the committee as well. And then we have to make sure we follow the conflict of interest rule. And that is outlined in DBD local as far as policy is concerned. Okay, so here's a little bit more information about what's recommended to be members. Not required, but recommended. So we want classroom teachers, check. I know we have at least one or two of those. We want school counselors, check. I see a couple of those here. We're going to come back and talk about students. We want healthcare professionals licensed or certified that practice in Texas, including mental health professionals. And I'm pretty sure we have that as well, to doctors, to school nurses, and then also additional. We want business community. I know that we have one that's not here tonight, but will be possibly two. We also have one or two law enforcement officers that have already committed to being on it. They just couldn't be here today. Senior citizens, clergy, we have one and we have invited a second that will be here at the next meeting. We also have two people that are involved in nonprofit health organizations and also in local domestic violence programs. So let me go back up to students. What are y'all's, evidently this was discussed a little bit in May last year, what are y'all's thoughts on that? It is required that we get input from students, but it is not required that they are at the meetings. But we can have them at the meetings. We could not have any at the meetings, and we get the information out to students. We could have one at each level, one at elementary, one middle, one high. There's really an option. I was talking to Yarda earlier, and I said this might be something cool at the high school, that we have a whole health science program of students that want to go into healthcare at some point. And so maybe one of them might want to serve one at the high school. I think we have a middle school student sitting right there with their headphones on. I hadn't really thought about elementary, but I mean, we do talk about some PE things and fitness things and a little bit about health. We will, and curriculum and things like that. And so any thoughts about that?
I always think it's great to get feedback from students and to invite them to meetings, because they're also getting an opportunity to be a part of, you know, a very formal setting, and mm-hmm. it's a learning opportunity.
Absolutely.
And then hopefully they're bringing what their peers, you know, are saying. So, and then as far as elementary students go, I've seen that where maybe like a student council president, you know, and it would be in a very specific topic, obviously, that
right.
we'd be talking about. But they go and gather their feedback from their peers and then get with their student council, you know,
okay.
whoever is over them, and then they give a presentation real quick.
Okay.
I think it's very valuable.
Having retired from teaching health science at Marble Falls High School and another high school prior to, that is an awesome, it would work so well for them for our benefit, but also for theirs for community service,
mm-hmm.
which is required if they're in the club.
And HOSA, yeah.
yeah.
I'm so glad to finally put a face with a name, because I've heard great things about you.
Okay.
Anybody else? So it sounds like we're pro students. So Ms. Lefflet and I will get together on that and send some information out to you. Maybe some, if you would like to nominate or you would like to suggest somebody from the campuses, you may have some ideas on that. We will get together and get more information out to you on that. I think that's all I'm supposed to talk about. Is there one more? Mm-hmm. Recruitment of parents. Yes, we do need more parents, in particular fathers. We are going to be having some discussion about sex ed curriculum coming up at one of these meetings, and we'd like to have, you know, men represented on that as well as women, moms as well as dads, with all kinds of perspectives and viewpoints. There will be some things that we will have option in, and there will be some things we don't have option in. But to get everybody heard and to be able to talk amongst us together, I think is a great idea too. So if you know of a father in any of your schools or in the community, of a parent that you think might serve well in this community, then make sure and email Ms. Lefflet that so she can get in touch with them.
Right now, I think we only have two. We have Mr. Teets, counselor. As far as community parents, Mr. Harkins, and only one other father on the committee. So all the people joining, that's it. And so if you, like she said, that's it.
Now, is there, no?
Possibly.
The doctors are female.
Both doctors are females, yes. One of the law enforcement officers, if he ends up committing to come,
and then one of the clergy is male, we know.
Right, but not a parent.
But not, right, his child is not in school yet. So. Okay.
Any questions so far? No? Coordinated school health. So one of the responsibilities that we have is to talk about and look at coordinated school health. And we are required as a school district to have a coordinated school health program. And coordinated school health programs are made up of certain components. First, I just have a quote for you here. Health and education affect individuals, society, and the economy, and as such, must work together whenever possible. Schools are the perfect setting for this collaboration. And so the purpose of coordinated school health is to look at all aspects of health. These are the required components that TEA lays out that we need to make sure that we are working on in our schools. And so health education, healthy and safe school environment, counseling and mental health services, parent and community involvement, staff wellness promotion, health services, physical education, and nutrition services. These components you are going to become much more familiar with by the time we end this school year. For instance, I can tell you, and I think everyone in here knows, we have an RN at every one of our campuses, except for Falls, and she is a medical responder. She's a first responder with medical experience. And our lead nurse is the main nurse for contact at Falls. We're very fortunate that we have RNs on all of our campuses. Not every school district does. Elizabeth Almazan in Human Resources leads our staff wellness program. You'll learn more about our staff wellness program at one of our meetings, just to have an overall sense. And so these are all things that we'll talk about throughout this year. Some of these components then fold into a student program that we implement in our schools. TEA has a list of approved coordinated school health programs that can be implemented in schools. And one of those on the list is CATCH. And CATCH is the program that we use in Marble Falls ISD. I'm gonna show you a really short little video on CATCH. It's from another state, but it's a happy little video. It's about a minute and a half long. It gives you an idea around CATCH, and then I'll talk to you just a little bit more about where we see it in our school district.
Across the board, we have seen a dramatic improvement with implementation of the CATCH program. My discipline referrals have gone down dramatically, attendance at school has gone up, and grades have gone up.
The exciting thing about CATCH Promise is for CATCH Global Foundation to make a commitment that for those districts who are facing so many challenges, that they commit to providing something that they know works with the support that they, and really only they, can provide, to do that in a way that can be sustainable within that school for the long term.
The thing that I love about CATCH as an educator is just not something that the kids do in physical education and health. It's something that can be implemented in classrooms. It falls into literacy and math. It's more of an initiative that's been embedded and threaded through our culture at the school.
We're in the job in this profession to help kids not only mentally but also physically, to make sure that they are well fit, well taken care of, so that they can make those positive choices for themselves. And what a great opportunity for them to make those choices in the future.
Primarily right now we implement in our PE classes. We primarily implement CATCH in our PE classes. So many of the activities that our PE teachers do in grades K through 8 are intentional activities that come from the CATCH program. Now, some of you may have heard about the Go Slow Foods, and then some of you might not have gotten to it yet. What we're gonna do is we'll have some of the teachers come in and share components of CATCH with you. And then we will start to do some other things with CATCH this year. And we can kind of review and just look at the different aspects of CATCH that we're implementing. And then CATCH now has some additional programming that it could be that as we work with the teachers, that we all decide that we wanna implement some of that additional programming. One of the things they have, for instance, is called CATCH My Breath. I was actually familiar with that on the pilot stages from the district I came from. We piloted it. It deals with vaping and being proactive in providing education to students on vaping. If you Google CATCH My Breath, the CATCH program and the CATCH My Breath stuff should come up. CATCH is funded by the Michael and Susan Dell Foundation, as well as several other groups. And there are some organizations that partner with CATCH that do give us the opportunity where as we look at lessons we want to do or different projects, we could possibly have some of our schools apply for some grants. And so there are some different organizations that it pairs really well with to apply for some grants for our teachers to do some really neat things around health and wellness. Do y'all have any questions about coordinated school health right now? So there are many aspects to coordinated school health. So I just gave you like the little bitty a snippet really around physical education and some of wellness, which is what we get through the CATCH program.
Are we currently using it K-5 or K-8 currently?
Currently, we supposedly are, well, it's K-8.
K-8, okay.
Making
sure my notes are right.
Once you hit middle school, some of the CATCH components are broken across some different classes.
Okay.
In elementary school, CATCH is primarily done through the PE teachers.
Okay.
So it's more easily to see K-5, if that makes sense. Like you can see more of the materials and different things. This right here is the whole school, whole community, whole child model. Last year, when we met as a SHAC, we, as a group, decided that we really like the aspect of this model because it encompasses all ways that we want to help support our kids. It has the community wrapped around. We're creating healthy, safe, engaged, supported, and challenged students. And then we have all the components around there in blue, in which we provide supports for students and for employees in our schools. And so if you look, it talks about it focuses its attention on the child, emphasizes a school-wide approach, and acknowledges learning, health, and the school as being the heart and reflection of the local community. So one thing, when Heather was talking about membership, it's really important that SHAC is representative of our entire community, particularly as we talked about all of these different areas. And so that's why it's been a struggle and a little bit to get people on, but it looks like that by November, we should have everybody on. Part of the barrier was people not wanting to be recorded, but it looks like that we've got people willing to now. If we had a group of people that all just agreed all the time to every single thing, it wouldn't get us to a better place, right? I'll just use as an example, sex education. Sex education is very passionate. Everybody has very different views on sex education. If we were all in this room and we all said yes, and we just all have the same exact opinion of sex education, that really wouldn't be representative of our community, no matter what our view was. It wouldn't be representative. No community is fully cohesive in that. What we have to find is what works for our community. And we vote and we leave this room with consensus. But that discussion to get to that place is what makes us better. And so that's why it's so important for SHAC to be diverse. Very important for SHAC to be diverse. And so this, we will talk about many of these components, way more to do than to do in a year. So as we approach November, you're going to receive a survey. There are some things we legally have to take care of this year, and then there's time where we'll have some time to take care of some other things. And just like the gentleman, I think it was from Leander, spoke, we will have to prioritize, what do we want to take care of this year? What do we want to take care of next year? I personally foresee right now that I think one of the top things, besides the legally required components, just from talking to many of you and just in looking at our schools and knowing our needs so far from the start of the school year, that mental health of our students is going to be one of the top things that I think everybody is going to choose for us to discuss and look at throughout this year. That's just from the tons of information that has come to me from all different aspects. And we're lucky we have school nurses, school counselors in here, parents. We will have parents from all across the community, law enforcement, people from different nonprofit agencies. So we'll be able to have some really candid discussions in here and see what we might need to recommend or see how we can help our community even. In some communities, SHAC helps host some events to get the word out. You know, in some communities, SHAC is involved in Red Ribbon Week. Red Ribbon Week is not just dress-up days. There's, you know, Tobacco Awareness Month. There's a lot more things that go on, and SHAC drives some of that to try to get the community involved. We have a very supportive community in Marble Falls ISD, and we are very fortunate. And if we just reach out and ask some people to help us with some things and we want to promote health, we have so many organizations that would help us. And so we just need to prioritize where we're at on it. So that's part of why I had you write down which two your top choices for subcommittee. But then if you look at this, you know, like I said, that's a lot. We'll have to prioritize what we want to tackle first, besides what's legally required that we will have to tackle. And there are a couple things that we will be legally required to tackle. Wanted to give you a COVID-19 update. Y'all have any questions up until now? Any questions up until now? You're good? Okay, so COVID-19 update, which I've provided you almost every meeting that we've had. So as of today, we've had 394 cases that have been on campus since the first day of school. This is more than the number of cases that we've had previous year. I did want to reiterate a couple things, that there is no doctor note required for students to return to school. However, if a kid is involved in an extracurricular activity, they need to have a doctor note to be able to participate back in that extracurricular activity. Now, I say a doctor note for them to return to school. They can't just return to school at day 6 after having COVID. There are 3 benchmarks that they have to meet: 10 days from symptom onset, reduced symptoms, and 24 hours fever or diarrhea free. And then the nurse clears them to be able to return to school. Now, there are some students that we may say we need a PCR test or something from a doctor, and that's because we get inconsistent information from the parent. Well, I did a positive and they're a positive. Oh, wait a second, no, they're a negative. No, you're gonna need to go to the doctor now. Like, we're trying to mitigate the spread. And so if students are having trouble getting the doctor note, if they're in athletics, we actually have a form that a doctor has to check off. And some students, the doctor does recommend that they want a heart test on the kid before they return. The doctor signs for a graduated return to play. Over a course of 5 days or 5 practices, the kid gradually goes from small amounts to bigger amounts of exercise. Some doctors want to see them after the 5 days. Some say if the trainer says they're good after the 5 days, they're good to participate. For band and dance and cheer, they just have to have the doctor note to be able to return. We do, though, require a doctor clearance for positive employees to return to work. And there's a variety of reasons for that. We are trying to mitigate spread, keep students safe. Many of our adults end up being a lot sicker than our students. And there are some things in regards to leave in which we have to legally have some doctor documentation. If somebody's out for a while, we're required to have some doctor documentation because of leave. And so we do require that. COVID testing, we participate in the state testing program. We've participated in the state testing program since last year in November. There's a bunch of other districts just now coming on. We tested hundreds of people last year, right? Mm. Our person had helped us. So we started testing this year. We had started the school year with the nurses doing it, and it's a lot.
And our department.
Yes, we have COVID tested. And so we opened back up a centralized COVID testing center for our students and for our staff. It is open every day. It's here. If you go right down to the end of the road here and you go through the gate to the old transportation, it's open from 8:30 to 10:30 every school day. It's drive up, so that's different. Last year you had to make an appointment. And you had to, the guy in charge of testing would call your nurse to get information. We have an LVN. We hired an LVN. The LVN can determine you can go to school or you can't. You tested negative, but you know, Heather, you're still sick. And Mama, you can't take Heather to school. Heather needs to stay out another day. The LVN can do that. And so Miss Duty is our LVN. And so from 8:30 to 10:30 every day, it's drive up. You just drive up your kid and they're COVID tested. Employees, we still employ COVID test at 8 o'clock and at 4 o'clock. And then there are some of us that still test throughout the day if there's a situation with an employee that's urgent. School nurses only test if they're sending home a student that's sick and the parent would like them tested. So we still left tests at the campuses, but it's only if they're sending them home sick. Okay, so if Miss Francis has a kid and they're in there and they're really sick, she can offer to the parent, you know, when you get here, if you'd like for me to COVID test them instead of you taking them somewhere else, I just have some paperwork for you to complete and then I'll COVID test them. That saves the parent from having to figure out something else. And then we see. The COVID reporting, we still report weekly to TEA and DSHS on our number of cases. Our number of cases has drastically decreased from when we started school. And so we are down to 10 or less a week right now, is about to what we're at right now. And then, like I said before, we did hire an LVN to help support. And the LVN is, our nurse clinics are busy. So the half after she finishes at 10:30, she's doing all the reporting for COVID, she's notifying people, and then after that, she goes to campuses and assists at the campuses. She's under Nurse Kelly, our lead nurse. is the one who directs her where to go, who to go help out, and sometimes it's that she covers the middle school clinic so our lead nurse can go out to other campuses. And so, like I said, our nurse clinics are busy, and they have a lot of paperwork that they have to keep up with and do for reporting immunizations, individual health plans, all kinds of other plans, asthma plans on some students, food allergy plans, and so this allows her to help them to do those, as well as her to relieve them for them to then take care of some of that work. Do you all have any questions on COVID-19? No? Okay, in case you were not aware, we do have the dashboard that is up still, so I did want to just show you the dashboard real quick, and I meant to have the website up. Just like last year, we have the COVID-19 dashboard. Oh, student COVID testing information, by the way, if you click right here, you can get to the student COVID testing information. It tells you what to do, where to show up. Here's our COVID-19 dashboard. So we still have the dashboard where we track cases. This is if we end up having to close any classrooms. We did have to close Highland Lakes Elementary School several times at the start of this year due to the number of cases at the school. And so this is where we would write down if there are any cases at any classrooms that are closed. This shows our attendance rate for each campus. And so we have a banner system now showing our attendance rate for each campus. And then, for instance, if a campus drops to a certain attendance rate, you may be like, well, you know, I want my kid to wear a mask for a couple weeks. It looks like there's a lot of sickness going around. Lately, there's been a lot of strep throat, RSV, and we're starting to see flu B. It's also taking numerous times of testing some kids that are pretty sick before they eventually test positive for COVID. But is there anything else y'all can think of? Carrie, that's pretty much it, right? Strep, RSV, and flu B is just barely starting. Yeah? Okay. So as we scroll down, so you can see the attendance rate, and you can be like, oh, I think I'll have my kid wear a mask, or maybe I'll ask my kid to do this. Then you can look down here and it shows our cases for the month, and then we have the color coded just like last year. You can always go to the archive monthly reports right here. The archive monthly reports for this year are included right here. So say if we were to click August, you can see in August we had a surge, a little bit of a surge in August. And then you can even click for September. You can see our September. And then there we are for October. So a definite drop in October compared to where we were in August and September. Any questions? Everybody's good? Okay, let me go on to the last parts here, and then we'll see if you have questions. And then next time we have a lot more interaction. Our next tasks. At our next meeting, we need to review our bylaws. Shaq has bylaws. Our bylaws were drafted several years ago, but we need to review the bylaws. We need to officially approve the bylaws, and then I need to share our bylaws with the Board of Trustees. Okay? I will share those with you before our next meeting so that we don't need to spend 35 minutes talking about them. We can just talk about what people see that there might be an issue, if you're okay with that. Is everybody good with that? Yes? Okay. Some districts have their SHAC meetings 3 hours long. I figured you probably don't want that, so you would rather do some homework. And then if we decide we need 2 hours for the next meeting to really tackle some things, we can decide as a group that the next meeting would be longer, if you're good with that. We need to start to review our wellness policy. So one of those policies in there that I gave you is our wellness policy. And you'll see there's a variety of things that are mentioned in there. And we just need to review our wellness policy, see if we have some questions on it. I'll send you some free work. And then we need to talk about next time, is there some data that you're wanting to look at? Okay, is there some data you want to look at? I'll tell you, the district I came from, we implemented FitnessGram beyond what the state required for FitnessGram. So let me start by saying that. because we were very highly invested in health and wellness of students to where Fitney Scram was actually implemented 3 times a year. So we, as a SHAC, wanted to look at Fitness Scram data. We looked at obesity data. We had Children's Optimal Health come in and do an obesity study of our whole school district. We figured out food deserts, all kinds of stuff like that. So we need to decide at our next meeting, what are some data points we want to look at? Do we want to look at some overall data points on the district on behavior? Do we want to look at some overall data points on number of kids who are actually eating lunch, like buying lunch from the cafeteria? Not buying, I mean, it's all free, but we can tell how many kids went through the line. What are some different data points in regards to health and wellness that we might want to look at? So as you're reading the board policy, if you think, oh, it would be good to know some data on that, make a little note down, and that will be some of the things that we can talk about, and we can see as a group, what data do we want to, what data do we want to look at, okay? And it could even be COVID data, if you want to look at COVID data. It could be nurse visit data, it can be counseling center visit data, there's all kinds of data that we could choose to look at. Okay, these are our future meeting dates. So we have 5 more meetings. We have quite a bit of work to do in 5 meetings, but by branching out for subcommittees, we can maximize our time, and that was our plan anyway. And so at the next meeting, we will narrow down, and then I see some subcommittees starting to meet, and then we would come back together, and subcommittees would report back in the big meeting. You do not have to record in subcommittee meetings, but you would do a full report back to the SHAC, which is then recorded when we have that meeting. Are there any questions? No? Okay. It's very quiet. Okay. So that is all that I have down for the agenda for you today, unless if somebody has something else that they would like to bring up. Is everyone good? Okay. So we'll follow up with some information. So what will happen is Amber Clark and Heather Metzger and I will meet. We'll talk about the next meeting. We'll send you out the information. We should have the additional membership here next time. So probably the table is going to be more spread out. Do y'all like this setup, or would you rather have small groups of tables?
This is good.
Okay, so we would just expand the square out to be able to fit the additional membership. And let me go back to the other screen where some of you were still deciding your subcommittee, in case you did not. And so we will meet, we will send out for the next meeting. We're probably going to give you a Google form with some feedback, to gather some feedback from you to maximize our time for when we meet. So if you don't have any other questions, I think we're good. I would like to collect your name plate. You could leave it just on the table before you go. Heather or Amber, did you have anything to add, or are you good? You're good? Okay, so what time is it?
5:24.
Okay.
Putting it down.
5:24, we are adjourning our meeting.